produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Wherever you're receiving this message, this is Josie Hopkins for Josie's Inspiration, and it's February 2023. It's Black History Month, and today I want to speak on three themes: Black history repeating itself, what have we learned from the past, and hold to the faith of our fathers when all else fails. First, Black history repeating itself. We began Black History Month yesterday with the funeral of Tyree Nichols, a 29-year-old Black man, father, son, brother, friend, and free spirit, who was brutally murdered by at least five Black police officers. Black History Month should be a time to acknowledge and celebrate the accomplishments of Black Americans, past and present. Instead, we mourn and decry the continued devaluation of Black lives in another form of Black-on-Black crime, not a new occurrence, but one that was captured by a streetlight dim camera: police brutality at the hands of Black police. As I read the eulogy given by Reverend Al Sharpton, and thought about Memphis, Tennessee being the site of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King, I thought this is not the history that I wanted to be celebrating today, the death of yet another Black man at the hands of police. As Reverend Sharpton spoke of the sacrifices people made marching and going to jail, and many losing lives to open the doors for those same police officers who are now acting like that sacrifice was nothing. History, Black history, it's repeating itself. It's not what we want. It's not what we desire. We want to be able to teach our children about a history. Yes, slavery is a part of that. Yes, there is history that we would not want to remember. But one of the things that we do want to hold is the humanity of mankind, that love, as spoken in Romans 12:10, loving one another with brotherly love and affection, that we ought to outdo one another in showing honor. But there was no honor shown for Tyree Nichols. Black history repeating itself in a way that we don't want to see continue. So what have we learned from the past? Matthew 7:12, or the Golden Rule says, "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." But what we have learned is that racial injustice continues to persist. Greater change is needed to right our wrongs. History has taught us that what we do not learn from the past, we repeat. This raises the question, is our society trapped in a cycle of discrimination? And is history continuing to repeat itself? From 18th century slave patrols in South Carolina to 19th century police enforced Jim Crow laws, from SWAT or special weapons and tactics teams to Memphis Scorpions, street crimes operations to restore peace in our neighborhoods. Officers deployed, supposedly, to protect the community. From Rodney King, George Floyd, Trayvon Martin, Tamir Rice. From civil rights movements to Black Lives Matter movements. It's all happening over and over again. So what have we learned from the past? What do we carry forward to the future? Do we learn anger and carry forward anger? Do we learn to show the brutality that has been shown to us? Or do we learn to turn the other cheek and treat our fellow man as we want to be treated? What do we tell our children in the face and wake of this continued brutality over and over again that glosses across our TV screen? Today is February the 2nd, and today I'll be going with my husband to the University of Richmond for a meeting of descendants of enslaved people who were buried on grounds that are now covered by university buildings. And as I think about history of the past, and I think about lives that have been sacrificed so that we can know better and hopefully do better, I think about today and this meeting. There are many places where Black lives have been brutalized and covered up. And to the university's credit, it's trying to some way rectify a wrong that was done. But you can't just create a memorial without talking about what occurred. You can't just gloss over the atrocities that have happened in history without addressing what really happened. History repeating itself. What have we learned from the past? What are we going to take forward into the future? I struggle with this question, and I struggle with it because as I am approaching the year of 69, I'm now 68. There's been so much that I've seen, that I've heard, that I've witnessed, and that I see it happening all over again. Did our forefathers not fight for rights that we deserved? Even today, as I'm reading and looking at Sojourner's Truth's words that she spoke in Ain't I a Woman. It was delivered at the 1851 Women's Convention in Akron, Ohio. And she said, "Well, children, where there is so much racket, there must be something out of kilter. I think that 'twixt the Negroes of the South and the women at the North, all talking about rights, the white man will be in a fix pretty soon. But what's all this here talking about? That man over there says that women need to be helped into carriages and lifted over ditches and to have the best place everywhere. Nobody ever helps me into carriages or over mud puddles or gives me any best place. Ain't I a woman? Look at me. Look at my arm. I have plowed and planted and gathered into barns, and no man could heed me. And ain't I a woman? I could work as much and eat as much as a man when I could get it and bear the lash as well. And ain't I a woman? I have borne 13 children and seen most all sold off to slavery. And when I cried out with my mother's grief, none but Jesus heard me. And ain't I a woman? Then they talk about this thing in the head. What's this they call it? Intellect. That's it, honey. What's that got to do with women's rights or Negroes' rights? If my cup won't hold but a pint and yours holds a quart, wouldn't you be mean not to let me have my little half measure full? Then that little man in black there, he says women can't have as much rights as men because Christ wasn't a woman. Where did your Christ come from? From God and a woman. Man had nothing to do with him. If the first woman God ever made was strong enough to turn the world upside down all alone, these women together ought to be able to turn it back and get it right side up again. And now they's asking to do it. The men better let them. Obliged to you for hearing me. And now old Sojourner ain't got nothing more to say. And I thought about that this morning, ain't I a woman? Because I listened to the mother on the news of Tyre Nichols talking about her son. And I, as a mother of a son and a grandmother of grandsons and a granddaughter, I have to think and I have to feel the pain that she was feeling to know that her son had been brutally murdered. And I thought about the mothers of Trayvon Martin and Tamir Rice and the other mothers through history who have borne witness to the brutality of their children. And I think, ain't I a woman? And I think any mother, any woman who has a child, or any woman who maybe doesn't have a child, must understand the pain, the suffering that's being inflicted on our people. This is not just about black, but it certainly is a black issue when we are disproportionately killed and policed and harassed and disrespected and dehumanized in ways over and over again. I even saw on the news, Fox News, if that's what they call it, a black man stating that crime in black cities is because of black women who have leadership. What in the world has this world come to that we don't look at ourselves in the mirror and see, oh, but there go I, if I do not love and respect my fellow man. The third question, or my third statement, holding to the faith of our fathers when all else fails. That has been the one sustaining factor throughout black history, our faith. Because if we have to look at the facts, if we have to be confronted by the realities, then rage is our response. But we can't become what we see. We can't rage against the brutality sufficiently to the degree that it's going to end. You don't fight fire with fire, they say. But at some point, what do? You hold fast to the faith of our fathers when all else fails. Deuteronomy 4:9 says, "The Lord warned, but watch out. Be very careful not to forget what you have seen God doing for you. May his miracles have a deep and permanent effect upon your lives. Tell your children and your grandchildren about the glorious miracles that he did." As I grew up in church and as I heard hymns being sung and as I heard the preachers talk about faith and not being retaliatory against violence, but turning the other cheek. And as I grew up understanding the nonviolence of the Martin Luther King era, but also understanding and appreciating the ways of the Black Panther, as a young person, I was torn about nonviolence versus retribution. Because in so many ways, I wanted to retaliate. I wanted to get back at those who had hurt my ancestors. I wanted to get back at those who had hurt people that I knew, that I saw being beat in the street. I wanted revenge. But my faith taught me that revenge was not mine, that I should give it to God. And so it's my faith that I hold on to when all else fails. It's my faith that says in Psalm 107:43, those who are wise will take all this to heart. They will see in our history the faithful love of the Lord. Because history is the vehicle for God's work in the world. We should be learning from it. The Bible is history, much of it. And history defines and touches our lives. It allows us to temporarily step outside of our own culture to evaluate it in the light of another. What do we take forward to the future? I, at Christmas, was gifted a walking stick. I've been challenged with my health and my breathing, and sometimes get laborious when I walk. And so my children gifted me, and my family gifted me, a Sankofa walking stick. And it comes from the Akan people of Ghana. And it's a walking stick that has a bird whose neck is long and curved, but it's looking at its back. And the saying that has been given for this bird is to go back to the past and bring forward what is useful. Go back to your roots. So if I go back to the past to bring forward what is useful for the future, I don't go back and get hate. I don't go back and get the anger that would cause me to lose faith or lose hope. I go back and I go back to the scripture. I go back to an understanding that the faith of our fathers is what has brought us forward to this point, and that the sacrifices that have been made on my behalf for me to get here, for me to have opportunities, I can't deny those. And I must take from the past the lessons to be learned for the future. And yes, there still is a future. And even though I'm 68, approaching 69, there is still a future. There is still hope. I have hope for my children. I have hope for my grandchildren that in their lifetime, they will see a diminishing of violence, that they will see that crime does not pay, and retribution in the way that it's perpetrated against us is not the way that we should move forward. And that's hard, because sometimes in order to not get anger, not have the angry feelings, you don't look, you don't see. And you put blinders on. And I almost made a decision not to look at the television reporting of the beating of Tyre Nichols, because I flashed back in my head to George Floyd and Rodney King and all the others who have gone before who've been murdered brutally. And if I keep looking at the images, the rage will rise up within me. But I can't turn away and act like I don't see. I must be ready to reckon with the reality that We are in a time where history is repeating itself in the ugliest way. And it's unfortunate. And so the hymn that I chose to play today is one that struck me, and it came from my growing up, and it came from a time when it was understood that there was work to be done, and we couldn't just sit down and do nothing. And that hymn, Ain't Got Time to Die. I keep so busy working for my Savior. I keep so busy working for my Lord that I ain't got time to die. It doesn't mean that death won't come. It just means that we don't give up, that we don't quit, and we don't just fall on our face and say, woe is me. We keep fighting. We keep pressing forward. We keep sharing the victories. We keep celebrating the victories. We keep celebrating Black History Month for the positives, but also acknowledging the tragedies. We ain't got time to die because there's work to be done in the kingdom of our Lord. Be blessed and keep working for the Master. Amen.
Lord, I keep so busy praising my Jesus.
Keep so busy praising my Jesus. Keep so busy praising my Jesus. Ain't got time to die.
Lord, I'm a healing
you. I'm praising my Jesus.
Well, I'm a healing you.
I'm praising my Jesus.
Well, I'm a healing you.
I'm praising my Jesus. I ain't got time to die.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Who made the right moves? You ain't moving at storage.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it is. Thank you for joining me on Rev. Lydia Speaks on the Rev. Lydia Speaks Network. I'd like to talk to you a little bit today about the protection of God. So much has been happening in this world. Sometimes people may feel that God is absent, but I want to let you know that that is so far from the truth. This morning, as I was looking at pictures in my phone, I came across a picture of a plant called a Japanese lantern plant. Sometimes they call it a Chinese lantern plant or a winter cherry. It's a popular symbol of life within death. You see, this is covered by a skin that is veiny and transparent, but it has a bright red cherry inside. It blooms in the winter. How backwards is that? But when it dries up in the spring, the skin crumbles away, and it reveals this beautiful fruit that lives inside. And it made me think what a magical, special world we live in. How the Creator made everything and everyone with their own special little nuance. No two snowflakes are the same. Just as no two people are the same. Not even identical twins. There's always some little something that sets them apart. And this strange plant also made me think just how much we too are under protection. Only we're protected by God. Just as the cherry survives inside that skeleton, so too do we, well, at least the true essence of us, survive within this form that we're accustomed to seeing, this body, until the spirit truly decides to break free. And when he breaks free of this body, we call it death. But what we call death is a crossing into the next level of life. Like the caterpillar who resides safely inside of his cocoon until it's ready to break free and emerge as a butterfly. When we do transition into our own true selves, we're truly free. But until then, we're covered by this grace and mercy of our Creator, sheltered and protected by His love. And if we have sense enough to let Him, we're led by the Holy Spirit. We're allowed to grow in grace at our own pace, to be able to come to God in our own way, in our own time. Kind of like a child learning under the watchful eye of its loving parents. And they have that blueprint of their belief system as a moral guide. We're forgiven for the times that we fail. And that's a big one for me. We're forgiven for the times that we doubt. And sometimes when we give up. When we come back to center and ask for help, we're given that help without question. Like the prodigal son who thought that he could do better on his own, only to find out that his successes and his lifestyle were fleeting. When we understand that we're fragile at best without the backing of our Father and go home, we're welcomed with open arms. The protection of God is real. And to think we get this protection even when we're not acting quite right. We don't have to do anything. We are the children of a generous God who loves us so much that He's willing to hold us up until we have sense enough to know what we have. Until we can understand that a birthright cannot be taken away. And once we acknowledge who we are and whose we are and accept responsibility for acting like the son and daughter of a king, we get a taste of real freedom. Freedom from worry. Freedom from illness. Freedom from lack, discord, and all negative things. When I look back on my own life now, I do so not only with the maturity that age provides, but with the knowledge that I still have some growing to do, but I can look back in gratitude. And I look back in gratitude for the many times that I survived through grace and mercy, and I can see the hand of God was on me and was in play. As Psalm 40, 1 through 2 states, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. I see the protection of God and what it has done for me. Even if at times it didn't feel like love and protection at all during some of those hardest tests, but I know now that that was when God was actually holding on to me the tightest and held me up the most securely. And I can't help but praise and give thanks because without His care and protection, grace and mercy, there's no way I would be where I am today. And I do so love my life now. The thing is to not waste the time between your waiting on God and His divine timing and showing up. And you can start by acknowledging all of the small but marvelous things around you and in your life. And give thanks for all of the people in your life. Then see the life you are desiring and make sure that you give thanks for it as if it's already here. And what does it feel like? Is this the life that God is preparing and holding you up for? If you think so, praise Him. And accept your blessing. Relish this protection and know that if you don't give up on your dream and His divine timing, God will manifest it for you. And my prayer for you today is that you know that God is making a way where there seems to be no way. hope where you're hopeless, and show you all the ways that he's protecting you and that you draw nearer to him. Have you ever heard God referred to as a hedge? A hedge can be used as a barrier between something or someone, something to keep you safe. And in this case, it is someone, because God encircles and encompasses and covers and shields those who've chosen to make him their refuge. His presence and his anointing is a force field around you, making you inaccessible to the wiles of Satan, no matter how he tries to persuade you. I remember when my son joined the Marine Corps. I was proud of him, as any mother would be. I was happy for him because it was something he had wanted since he was 3 years old, before he could even say the word Marine. I was frightened. Not that I didn't trust that the same God who brought him back from the brink of death after a horrific car accident wasn't the same God that was going to have his back and do the same job of protection now that he was grown. But because this was a new chapter, and not only his life, but in mine as well. You see, as a mother, you tend to think that you need to be there no matter what. Like, you're the one that could just preserve everything and help him and get everything done that he can't do. That's not true. Truth is, our children only come through us. They're loaned to us by a God who guided them through and helped us to realize that we're here to help them to personally make that assignment that was given to them by God a completion. So I couldn't do anything. It wasn't up to me. Every letter I wrote to him had the words Psalm 91 on the envelope inside of a small heart. Now that sounds really cheesy, but it was my way of reminding him that when things get really tough, to turn to that scripture and turn to it for solace. And see, he knew that it was my favorite because we would read it together when he was young. Now he's been out of the service now for over 25 years. And he still has my letters, and I have all of his. And he pointed that out to me one day when we were talking about parents and the strange ways that we have of inserting ourselves into the lives of our children, no matter how far apart we may be. Now, I knew I couldn't be there, but I knew who could be. And that's how, with that kind of protection, men and women have been able to go through some horrible situations. I mean, really bad situations. The death of a child, the loss of a spouse, the loss of life as they knew it. Like Daniel in the lion's den, like the Hebrew boys in the furnace, and countless others in the Bible who made God their refuge. And God has covered you with his light, the same light that Psalm 104 says that he himself is covered with. And as believers and children of God, that light goes with us wherever we go. We actually emit this glory when we walk in his way. And sometimes I think God allows others to see your light just a little bit so it could help them to go just a little further on their journey. Where I work, there are people that walk, and they come in for exercise, and they see us through the window. And this one lady came in one day, just she'd never been in before, and she said, "I'm so glad to see you. I wondered where you were." And I kept saying, "Wondered where I was. I see her all the time." But this lady had been walking, and she'd been walking for the 3 days that I was off. And then she said something that really shocked me. She said, "Because when I turned the corner, I couldn't feel your energy, and I couldn't see your light. And I said, my light? She said, yes, I feel your energy before I see your face. And I stood there for a minute, and I was really, really shocked. But it made me feel so good. I try to make sure that I can admit what I study in the mornings, and it's why I have my coffee in Christ time. It's why I try to get myself ready for the day, so that not only I can proceed, and maybe I can help somebody else. But you can only do that if you stand in the truth of this protection and you study the promises of God, so that even when you're in the midst of hard times, you can remember them. And remember also that God is not a man that he would lie. And if he said he was going to do something, he is going to do it. His promises are real, and he is no respecter of a person. We all are able to tap into this protection. Everything you need is in that sacred space that they speak of in Psalm 91, where we share with God, just you and God in your little sacred, secret place. If you just allow him to live through you, you have to get connected and stay connected for this to happen. Sometimes it's easier to do this than others. When you're happy, when things are going your way, it's easy to feel God is in the midst of this, and I want to give thanks and praise. But the real test of your character, the real test of your faith, is when all hell seems to be breaking loose. Nothing is going right. The very essence of your being, you can't feel it yourself, let alone let it be bright enough for someone else to see. There are things that can just make you go down, and you go down a road that doesn't seem to have any turnaround point. But the turnaround point is when you have studied his word, studied his promises, remembered and remembered. That means to reconnect to the times that you know he was there to help you, to the times that you can recall all the great things that God has done for you. That energy builds up, and that energy gets inside of every cell of your body, and you will virtually glow with the light of God. It picks you up to the place that whatever's going on now doesn't matter, because you say if God brought you to it, he will bring you through it. And the operative word here is through. And you can use that word through any way you want to, as to go beyond a point or for it to be over. In essence, the power of God is there for you to use any way you need and any way you see fit. But you have to be able to connect at a moment's notice. That's why the Bible says, study to show yourself approved. That doesn't mean to just be able to memorize a verse or a chapter and throw it out. It does mean to swallow it whole, to believe it in every fiber of your being, to know that when God says, yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to feel the evil that's there. And sometimes in this world, this entire world feels like it's one big valley of a shadow. Things are happening that don't make sense. And it slams straight into what I'm saying about God being there to protect you. But there are times when things are allowed to happen and it doesn't seem fair. But the outcome of what that produces in others to make this world a better place, to make sure that we are covered to the point that we take care of our brothers and sisters, because we have that much energy left over, because we have that much faith that we can share. And believe me, with all of this death and killing and robbing and just everything that is contrary to God, the people that are affected the most have been buoyed with the strength of God. I listened to the mother of a young man who was beaten to death at his funeral. And she said something that was so profound. The only reason that I can stand here today is that I feel that my son was sent here on assignment by God. And when he finished, God took him home. That shows strength for a mother to be able to say that at the most horrific time in her life and believe it and to rally people for peace instead of revenge. Yes, there is evil in this world, but for every drop of evil in this world, there is a whole cupful of God. And the people of God, at this point and this time, we have to make sure that we can stand firm, that we can stand together. This is no time to shrink back. If you can hear anything that I have ever said, hear that. Make sure that you stay connected, get connected, and allow God to live through you. It's so much that you can do. It's so much that we can accomplish. We cannot lose hope. We cannot lose faith. We come from faith. We come from love. And what you are, you share. The more you have, the more you're able to give. That's very important. So make sure that your cup is full to running over. And as it runs over, let it drip on people that need it the most. This is Reverend Lydia, and I thank you for listening to me, and I thank you for staying connected, and I ask for your prayers as I give you mine. Be blessed.
Not scared to say, I used to be the one preaching it to you, that you could overcome. To believe it, but it ain't easy. Cause that world I painted, where things just don't work out, it started changing, and I started having doubts, and it got me so
produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.